Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Journey with Surah Al-Hajj.
Mashallah.
And alhamdulillah, we've been enjoying a lot of the journeys with this. But now we've come to, I think, a very, very important part of the surah for me, inshallah. But I'm going to let you be the head of this journey, inshallah, and take us on.
May Allah accept it from all of us.
Ameen.
Now, we've got to that point. You know, we talked about how the Muslims had been persecuted for so long. Now they're given the permission to fight back. Now they're told, after that weak state you've been in, this is how you change your state from a state of weakness and being humiliated to a state of power and strength, where you are the leaders, you are in control. They've been given the commandments and what they have to do to get to that ideal that every single human being actually wants. And they've been told how Allah will grant it to them, facilitate it, and keep it for them. So they've been given all of this guidance. Yet at the same time, this hasn't happened yet for them. Okay? So they're still suffering. They know what the vision is now. They know how to get to that, but they're still in a state of suffering. So then Allah follows up with these verses. So let's look at verses 42 to 46. So Allah says,
وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ وَثَمُودَ وَقَوْمُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَقَوْمُ لُوطَ وَأَصْحَابُ مَدْيَنَ وَكُذِّبَ مُوسَى فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ فَكَأَيِّن مِّن قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ فَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ وَقَصْرٍ مَشِيدٍ أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ.
And if they deny you, O Muhammad, so before them did the people of Noah and Ad and Thamud deny their prophets, and the people of Abraham, and the people of Lot, and the inhabitants of Madian. And Moses was denied, so I prolonged enjoyment for the disbelievers. Then I seized them, and how terrible was my reproach. And how many a city did we destroy while it was committing wrong. So it has now fallen into ruin, and how many an abandoned well, and how many a lofty palace. So have they not traveled through the earth, and hearts by which reason, and ears by which to hear? For indeed, it is not eyes that are blinded, but blinded are the hearts which are within the breasts.
So now, in this group, yani on this bunch of verses here, you can see how the Prophet and the Muslim is being consoled. Okay, yeah, you're on the truth. Yeah, you've got the greatest of signs. Yet, they're going to disbelieve in you. Just like it happened to the prophets before you. So they disbelieved. And the people of Nuh alayhi salam disbelieved in him. They call him a madman. They call him crazy. And that went on for 950 years. Just imagine the psychological damage that can do to someone, calling them mad and crazy, and yani refusing to listen to them for 950 years. Yet Nuh alayhi salam never gave up, even though they disbelieved. And then Allah mentions those great nations of Ad and Thamud. These were people who were giants.
In civilization.
Yeah, giants in civilization, giants in strength. No one could stand in the way of the people of Ad. Yeah, they just dominated everywhere where they went. And they used to build huge buildings that no one could touch. And it was just wasteful building as well, because they had the strength. And you had Thamud, who built homes out of the mountains, and they could live in there, and that's where they lived.
I think for even now, if you go to parts of Jordan, you still see the civilization, the remains of their building.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because that's mentioned here at the end. So you have these groups mentioned. Then, وَقَوْمُ إِبْرَاهِيمِ Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned again here. So the people of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they disbelieved in him as well. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was magnificent. Yeah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, we've mentioned him a few times already in the surah. Now Ibrahim is mentioned here, he was disbelieved too. Okay.
So much so, I think he was catapulted into fire.
Yeah, he was catapulted into fire. We kind of touched on that. Yeah. Catapulted into fire, treated like this. And he was the Khalil of Allah as well. The father, yani the great father, however many times, of the Prophet ﷺ. So then, وَقَوْمُ لُوطٍ, and the people of Lut disbelieved in him as well. And Lut alayhi salam is mentioned with Ibrahim alayhi salam because they were together, they are related. And they were expelled and exiled from their place, and they left together. Okay, so then you have وَصْحَابُ مَدْيَن. Madian, Shu'ayb alayhi salam was sent to them, and they disbelieved in him. So his message as well. And then the final one to be mentioned, after all of these prophets being mentioned, وَكُذِّبَ مُوسَى. It's really interesting that Musa is mentioned here, and then Allah says, I give time for the disbelievers. Not that I forget them, I give them time.
It's interesting that Isa wasn't mentioned.
Yeah, Isa is just before the Prophet ﷺ. But here, Isa's mission is not finished.
Okay.
Remember, so Isa alayhi salam comes back at the end of time.
Okay, all right.
So his story is ongoing.
Okay.
It's ongoing.
Yes. Okay.
So Musa is mentioned. Now, when you think about Musa alayhi salam, what is really special about Musa alayhi salam?
I think he's mentioned a lot in the Quran.
Right.
And there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from what his people did in terms of mistakes.
But why should people believe him or believe in his message, his people? Why should they have believed in him more so than, say, any other prophet?
His people faced the most oppression.
Yeah.
In time, right?
And there's a point here. His people, right? So Allah didn't mention, and the people of Musa rejected him. Because his people were Bani Israel. He was rejected by Fir'aun and his people, the Coptics.
Okay, so his people accepted him.
Yeah, his people were Bani Israel, yeah. So that's his people. But the people in charge, Fir'aun and his people, the Coptics, they were the ones
who rejected him.
Who rejected Musa. So it says, and Musa was rejected. But there's a significance of Musa being rejected. What's the significance? Right, when I ask you, what's the miracle of, say, for instance, Salih alayhi salam,
the animals, and
right, the she camel.
Yeah? Yeah.
When I say to you, what's the miracle of Isa alayhi salam?
The cure that he could cure and people, the lepers. And
yeah. All. Okay. What's the miracles of Musa alayhi salam? How many?
The parting of the sea.
Yeah?
The saving of the people, getting the Torah.
What else?
I'm a bit lost here.
Right, so Allah mentions, we gave Musa alayhi salam tis'i ayat. We gave him 9 different miracles. No other prophet gets miracle after miracle because the people were basically asking for miracles. He did.
Okay, so so when he went to Pharaoh and he was telling him, look,
the staff,
come back.
The hand glowing like a star.
Yeah, the locust.
The locust, the frogs. The blood, the water turning to blood. It's 9 different miracles and you're still not going to believe?
Okay, the signs,
yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, got
so
it.
The Prophet, it's as if Allah is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, look, they disbelieved in Musa ﷺ when it's so clear.
They disbelieved in him so much, so even with all of these signs.
Yeah, so it's not surprising they're disbelieving in you. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ is being consoled. So then Allah says, فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ. I give them respite, I give them time, then I annihilate them. Then I take them completely. As the Prophet says, Allah la yumli lidh-dhalim. He gives respite to the oppressor. For one reason, hatta idha akhadahu lam yuflit. Until a point comes that is the appointed time, so Allah seizes him and completely wipes him out. So this is exactly what Allah is saying. This is what we did. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. Yani the word nakir here is used instead of adab. This is the worst and intense type of punishment comes and completely demolishes them.
So one thing in common with all of these civilizations that were destroyed, they were destroyed at the height of their civilization. Because obviously they were flourishing in all their worldly affairs. the different cities we mentioned, the different civilizations we mentioned. If you look at Pharaoh, he was at the height of his expansion, and then all of this happened to him.
Yeah, even Ad and Thamud, you know, they're the ones who said, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa?" Who's stronger than us?
Yeah.
So these are civilizations that were established and on top of the world.
There was no reason; they didn't feel fear. The reasons for them to fail.
So what they actually did was become arrogant towards Allah,
and that was their failure.
Yeah, that's it. Then it destroys. It reminds you of the Titanic, innit?
It does. Yeah.
When they said, "Not even God can sink it."
The ship. The first voyage, journey,
it sank.
It sank.
The worst crime you can commit is to arrogantly challenge Allah. So then, straight after that, Allah then draws our attention to فَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا. Yani, so many different people and civilizations we destroyed because they were oppressive. Oppression destroys a nation. Then you see it empty. When it had flourished and it had everything, then it's empty. And then you will see the water wells and some of the buildings and things, they're still there, but there's nothing in them anymore. It becomes completely empty. And then Allah says, and some people, we leave their buildings, the tall palaces, we leave them there intact.
As a sign.
As a sign. Okay, right? Allah didn't mention it as a sign. Some of them we destroyed and we dropped their houses and dropped everything and there's nothing left, it's just ruins. Others, we left certain pieces of their civilization there for you to see, but we still destroyed them.
SubhanAllah. And that's where we see some of the buildings of in Jordan, what their civilizations made there.
Yeah, so, and you can still witness this. There were people here, but then they were destroyed.
SubhanAllah. Sheikh, we're going to stop here inshallah because we're going to go for a break. But there are some interesting points that we've learned from here. May Allah protect us from being arrogant, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, please join us straight after the break. We will continue this journey with Surah Al-Hajj. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the second part of this episode. Inshallah, we will continue and we want to dive straight in, inshallah, Sheikh.
Alhamdulillah. So we mentioned about how Allah destroyed these people.
Yes.
And, you know, some of them He completely ruined their civilization and their buildings and everything. And others, He left certain parts of their civilization, like some of their palaces, etc., their homes, like in the caves, etc.
As ruins.
He left them there empty, yet the structures were still there, so you could see and you could reflect upon them. So then Allah actually points to that reflection and how it occurs, etc., by saying, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. So don't they travel the earth and have hearts by which they can actually understand what happened and what's happening? Now here, does Allah want us to travel through those ruined nations?
To learn from it, it does sound like it.
But does Allah actually want us to travel? Now here, when Allah says, after this statement, don't they realize, don't they see, don't they ponder? He doesn't mention the eyes. He says, فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. So they have hearts which understand. Okay, so that journeying, it doesn't necessitate actually the traveling physically and going to those places. Because the Prophet ﷺ actually said to us, don't go into these places that Allah's adab came.
Like the Dead Sea. And
yeah, places where, whether it was the people of Lut alayhi salam, whether it was the people of Ad and Thamud, the famous story where the Prophet ﷺ is going with his companions and they're passing by the place where the people of Thamud were killed, okay, destroyed by Allah, the punishment came. Here he says, don't go into these places except that you're crying and do not drink from their water.
Okay, so the essence here is that, from what I understand, is it's not an amusement area for you to go there and look and take pictures and yeah, we're here with that.
100%.
These are areas where you should go and learn.
Even the going, the Prophet ﷺ didn't want us to go to these places where the adab, if we establish that Allah's punishment came here, why would you want to go to a place where Allah's adab came?
It's true.
That's just wrong. Allah is saying to you, remember, the Quraysh had passed by these places already. They knew well about them. They knew what was there because trade routes, things they had done. So here it's reflect. Don't you reflect about these places that you know Allah's adab came. They knew these stories. Okay, it was part of their heritage. Okay, so they knew. Don't you have hearts which can fathom and understand what happened here? The people disobeyed Allah and Allah wiped them out. They had a chance. They didn't take heed. Allah wiped them out. Don't you get it? It's really clear. And then after that, أَوْ آذَانُ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Allah didn't mention eyes at all. So it's not about the seeing of the eyes at all. He mentioned the hearts, which understand, and He mentioned the ears that hear about. And these are stories that they pass down generation after generation. And the interesting thing here, after these nations are mentioned, and really, if you look at most of these nations, you're not going to know about Musa alayhi salam and how his people were killed. That's kind of ilm al-ghayb. That's so far in the past. That's the unseen knowledge. Yeah, and some of these other nations, yeah, what happened to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam's people, you're not going to see the adab, okay, and exactly where it happened and etc. You're not going to know. It's from the unseen knowledge. So really, there's no possibility of it being actual sight. And that's why Allah doesn't mention the eyes here.
Even the floods that took out people of Noah.
Yeah, you won't.
You don't know.
You don't know. So here it's not physically going and seeing those sights. It's about understanding what happened, reflecting on it with the heart, hearing about those stories, whether through the Quran or it's been passed down accurately. But generation after generation, in the case of Quraysh, they had some of this knowledge, and then they had the Quran coming to them. So reflect. And then Allah finishes the verse by saying, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَلْ أَبْصَارِ, that the eyes are not what becomes blind. The eyes can operate. You know, you can see this and you can see that, but still, by seeing it,
it's not penetrating.
Yeah, it's not penetrating the heart, so you can't distinguish between right and wrong, even though you're seeing things. Because Allah says, it is the hearts that truly become blind. That the hearts that are in the chest. What actually does the thinking? This is the other aspect here. So when it comes to the thinking, Allah says, فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. Allah says, don't they have hearts which understand? So here Allah attributes the thinking
to the heart.
To the heart, not to the brain. To the heart itself.
It's interesting because two people could be looking at the same thing. They could be thinking the same thing in their head, but their heart directs them to a completely different conclusion.
Exactly. And you know, there's that famous saying, you know, think with your head and think with your heart. You know, in different contexts, you would say the different phrase.
Yeah.
Right, so think with your head means think objectively.
Calculate it.
Yeah, calculate it. I mean, add things up.
Without any emotions.
Yeah, without emotions, isn't it? Emotionless.
Yeah.
Think with your heart means take the emotions into consideration. So there's a thinking in language that we attribute to the brain and a thinking that's attributed to the heart.
Which is morality, I would say.
Yeah, morality. Yani, making judgment calls. Okay? That's always to do with the heart. Whereas logical conclusions, we always refer that to the brain. Now, however it works, there's a connection between the two, because this is a long discussion that the scholars and people get into.
I could imagine.
Philosophical discussion, which is very long. But there's a connection between the heart and the brain. But in our Sharia, we know the heart is the master. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith we've mentioned a few times now, that morsel of flesh that, if it is sound, the whole body follows suit and is sound and good and wholesome. It's the heart.
And it's so befitting to mention it right now. Because, like you've mentioned, the brain, the thinking part of it, it's hardwired. It's computing whatever is in front of you. But if that morsel of flesh is guided, then whatever is being thought, that heart would direct it to the right place.
Yeah, the heart is the one that's going to make the conclusion, that judgment. Yeah. The judgment call.
Overall judgment of what
it's as if, and some of the scholars say, the connection between the heart and the brain is that, your senses pick everything up, they compute it, they send all of that information yeah. down to the heart, then the heart does the judging and makes the decision.
And does what he wants to do.
Yeah. And the heart is the leader. It is the judge. SubhanAllah. So Allah is pointing to all of that here when he says hearts that think. And then saying, you know, what's going to distinguish between right and wrong for you? It's not your eyes. Eyes can be fooled. It's not your ears. Ears can be fooled. Okay? What makes the judgment between truth and falsehood? The heart. But the heart can only make that judgment if it is pure. Because if the heart is corrupted, then it will only see evil as being good. So that corruption messes everything up and the way you see things, the whole world and everything in it. So then after that, Allah says the following verse. Verse 47.
وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ وَكَأَيٍّ مِّنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَمْلَيْتُ لَهَا وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهَا وَإِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ.
And they urge you to hasten the punishment, but Allah will never fail in His promise. And indeed, a day with your Lord is like 1,000 years of those which you count. And for how many a city did I prolong enjoyment while it was committing wrong, and then I seized it, and to me is the final destination.
So in these two verses, Allah then says, you know, they're asking you to prove yourself, to bring and hasten on the punishment of Allah. They want it to come, they're challenging you. Don't they understand that Allah never breaks His promise, or yani His promise is always true, that He's going to aid you, He's going to give you victory. And then Allah says, a single day yani with Allah is 1,000 years of what you count. Yani if you look at Islam, Islam has only been here 1,443 years. That's like,
we're getting
to a day and a half now.
Yeah,
a day and a half. In Allah's counting, we've only been on this earth for a day and a half. And you imagine, that's the whole of Islam, a day and a half in Allah's counting of
things.
So
many lives have come and gone.
Yeah, come and gone, so many things have changed. That's only a day and a half. You've only been living a day and a half. What do you want? You want everything to happen in a day and a half? No, it doesn't work like that with Allah. Allah's saying to them, what you see is something far away. This is nothing in the sight of Allah. And then Allah says, and this is how, inshallah, we're going to conclude this episode. Yani how many a nation Allah, even though He sees them being so oppressive, He gives them respite. Because it's a day, a couple of days. It's nothing in the sight of Allah. Allah gives them time. So previously He mentioned how He gave these people opportunity and He annihilated them. Here He's not mentioning the annihilation. He's saying, you might see other people, Allah hasn't destroyed them. Doesn't mean they're on the right truth. They're not on the truth. Allah's giving them respite. You can see their oppression. Allah's not destroying them yet because it's not their time. Allah gives them plenty of time. Then Allah takes them.
So this respite, is it because Allah is giving an opportunity for them to change? Or is it like the saying goes, we're giving you enough rope to hang yourself kind of thing?
Yeah. Now, like both of those.
This evidence is going to be either for you or against you.
So those who are going further into their misguidance, it's further rope to hang yourself. Those who reflect and turn back, it's opportunity. So in both ways. But then when Allah decides to take them, seize them, then there is no getting away from Him. And then Allah says, وَإِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. And the destination for everyone is to Allah. There's no this way, that way, there's another avenue, there's another road.
We're all going to the one destination.
It's one destination, that's it. So now you imagine the Prophet ﷺ in that situation, he's now been reminded of all of this, and this is the journey that all the Prophets, his brothers, have been through. And you can imagine how he's consoled, how the Muslims are consoled. Yeah, it's going to happen. Just like Musa ﷺ was given victory, Ibrahim ﷺ was given victory. Every single one of these prophets was given victory in the end. It's just a waiting game. With Allah, it's all done and dusted. It's finished. With Allah, it's just a few moments. That's why the Prophet ﷺ never allowed us to become any hasty and never allowed us to become defeated and feel humiliated. Even when they were in the intense severity of torture. No. Allah is going to make this happen. It's done, it's dusted, it's over. Why are you in a hurry?
The victory of Allah will come.
Without a doubt.
Alhamdulillah. Zakallah khair, Sheikh. I think with this, we're going to be ending this episode on this amazing series of episode, Journey with Surah Al-Hajj. Join us until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.